religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence for Prince, Don Nikoloff.
Over that 55 hump, and had a great day. Starting the ninth cycle of 7 years in my life, and Lord knows what that's going to bring, but I'm excited about it. I'm happy to be with BBS Radio. I got a lot of shout-outs to give, so we're going to try to do those throughout the course of the program. I do want to say hi to Karen, Bob, and Bill, Zachariah, David, Sheila, and Jill, as well as the General. Cherie Sadler in Nashville, welcome. And I've got people all over the country and even different parts of the world, so we're going to try to shout out and tell you how much we enjoy having you with us tonight. Want to give you a quick update on some things that are going on. When you join a new network, there are a million things to do, and they're kind enough to be setting up a web page on the BBS site. And so I have Donald Newsom to thank for that at BBS Radio, and also Seth, our engineer tonight. And we are using some different technology from what normally is being used here, and I'm pretty demanding because of my production background. We're fidgeting with wires and making connections, but hopefully the show is going to be very clear, especially when you go back and listen to the archives. And we are going to be playing music from time to time on this show, so it's important that we have not just a good connection, but the creative ability to put this together so that when you go back and listen to past shows, you enjoy the content. That's utmost. And I'm honored to be on this network, especially on Tuesday nights after Dr. Leonard Horowitz, a very interesting show he had this evening. And this is right up my alley, and actually tonight's guest as well. Dr. Horowitz was on my Evident Footprints show when I was on another network, and we had a very interesting interview. And I told him about my background in music and that I was aware of the perfect circle of sound and the love frequencies. And a lot of this came from my background in piano tuning. I used to experiment with different tuning methods on piano. There are some 17 or 18 what we would call today ancient methods, and these were for tuning acoustic pianos. You had the Werkmeister 1, Werkmeister 2, Werkmeister 3, and there were different tuning methods depending on whether it was a German tuner, Austrian, Italian, French, and what have you, tuner, or the make of the piano. Often some of the pianists like their pianos tuned in a different method. Those that had the square pianos, for example, Franz Liszt had a square piano that actually is here in the United States now. It's in Columbus, Ohio, and owned by former piano store owner Paul Graves. Paul Graves bought this piano and had never tuned it, and I really couldn't imagine someone owning a $250,000 piano and not tuning it ever. And so he permitted me to tune that piano, and I did incorporate some of the tuning from the Perfect Circle of Sound. Now, that came from my understanding of metaphysics and also some NDE experiences I had at the time, which enabled me to get a little bit of sacred input. I was, downloaded with some sacred information, and it came to me metaphysically, and it was told to me that I would be writing music that would heal people. And it's interesting that there are other composers out there and other, scientists. Dr. Horowitz is much more than a scientist. And so I don't mean to put him in a box and categorize him, because he's very open-minded and into a lot of these different things. It was interesting for me to find out that there were others who were studying toning, and they were studying crystals and the various musical applications. And I became very interested because of my first NDE experience one could heal by transforming sound into light. And so I began focusing on frequencies that I intuitively understood. And they pretty much matched up with the research that Dr. Horowitz came out with fairly recently. Now, in addition to that, there are some other people who are, promoting theories that he may be off one cycle on these pitches and lowering, and they're looking at the scale running from zero to zero over a period of a minute and measuring the number of vibrations, and that you have to include this zero. Well, the zero is nothing more than a cancellation point in the wave, and it's where the wave, again, begins to rise or fall over the mean sound. So it's an argument that might be worth looking into, but I was able to easily hear the music in this brighter sound, this happier feeling, and there are different harmonics and different resonances that occur, and the impact upon the human body and on the aura is quite different. So the healing aspect of music is enhanced by changing the normal tuning center from 440 hertz to, let's say, 528, or to even investigate the possibility of using other frequencies and as a means of tuning. The 528 hertz frequency is actually in the middle of our hearing range. It's in our speaking range. It's in our many of the solo instruments play in that range. And, of course, notes go lower and they go higher, especially on a keyboard instrument and on certain stringed instruments. And some reed instruments, the saxophone, tenor sax, for example, has the ability, using the altissimo range and the harmonics of the reed and false fingerings, to produce an unbelievably wide range of notes, extending over 4.5, 5, even 5.5 octaves, depending on who the player is. So there is benefit in learning more about this music, and what Dr. Horowitz describes about the sound is really true. There is a difference. And I have composed pieces, and I've recorded these pieces, and I've sent them to people, and people have described all kinds of varieties of healing. And when I speak about healing, we're speaking more from a spiritual sense, first of all, in that the spirit grabs on to something that's in the music. The spirit knows this. The spirit recognizes this. And it facilitates the cooperation of the mental and the physical bodies in harmonizing and bringing all those energies into a focus, which results in a state of well-being and eventually a state of health. You know that your attitude can change your health, and your thoughts can change your health. And, of course, your knowledge. And last night I talked about my feelings about the mind control program on this planet, in that it operates on the belief system. And when you know something, you know it beyond the mental capacity. You have a physical ability often to express this knowingness. In music, I do that through perfect pitch. I do that through being able to hear the music and tell you exactly what all the frequencies are, what all the notes are. I could write them out, and you could have an orchestra play the parts, and it would sound just like what you heard. That's how accurately I feel the notes. In other words, the notes, it's almost as if I become the notes, or I become the music, and the music becomes me. And there is this interchange that's going on a cosmic level, but really it's being transmuted into the physical realm through my emotions, through my thoughts, and through my physical body. And it doesn't really matter what I believe. When you hear this and when it speaks to you and it resonates from within you, your natural inclination is to project that outward, to create the music for others to hear, to say, here's a piece I wrote, and this will help you with the sadness you feel from the passing of a loved one. And I've had people actually describe listening to a certain composition and seeing themselves talking to their deceased father or mother who they had issues with and they were not able to resolve while they were in the body. And some part of spirit spoke to them and told them that everything was all right, that it was understood, that there was a lesson learned, that healing and forgiveness had taken place on a higher level, and that there was no reason to fret over these things, that they were only going to hold the individual back. Also, people would describe just the change of mood and the general sense of purpose in their life to where they just talked themselves and acted themselves back into whole health, and then began to look at the things they were actually doing to harm their body, the foods they ate, and the negative habits that they had. So we're going to talk about those things with tonight's guest, and I want to thank all those people out there who follow Dr. Horowitz's teaching, and I hope you get something interesting out of this show, because we're going to cover a lot of different areas. Quick reminder, tomorrow evening I'm going to have Mr. Todd Metallo, the president of Lametco International in Louisville, Kentucky, and we're going to be talking about all the toxins in our food and in our water and some interesting products that his company carries. And you don't want to miss that. Then the following night on Thursday, and by the way, these will be going up on my PBS webpage tomorrow, so you'll have all this information posted. We will have Mr. Ken Adachi from the well-known research website educate-yourself.org. This man, he's, first of all, a tremendous researcher, and he's got just about any topic you can imagine that you can sink your teeth into posted on his website. And he does a lot of research, and it's been a great resource location for me and a lot of other people I know when I turned them on to that site. So we're going to have Ken Adachi, and then on Friday we're going to wrap up the week with Mr. Jim Murray, scientist, inventor, teacher, lecturer, and we are going to talk about some energy devices, and we may be talking about flying saucers and aliens, who knows. But Jim is always a very, very enlightening guest, and he was a regular on my show and will continue to be. So I'll be anxious to introduce him to the new audience at bbsradio.com. And with that, I would like to bring tonight's guest on board. This gentleman worked for a major corporation in the computer industry and becoming sort of disillusioned, maybe disheartened with what was going on. He pursued other avenues of expression and self-expression, and he's one of the most spiritual people I know, and also very learned, or learned, as they like to say in England, in the research of history and secret societies and things of that nature. And he's also an herbalist, which qualifies him to talk about stuff like chemtrails and poisons in the food and all that. So we're just going to talk about a few different things. I'd like to welcome to the show tonight my good friend, Michael Anthony. Michael, how are you this evening?
Hello, Don. Thank you, sir. And I'm doing well, and happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you. Another year, another number.
They go by quick, don't they? And, yep, they're only numbers, Don.
Well, time is speeding up, if you've noticed, you know.
Absolutely.
It seems like my metronome has to be sped up all the time. It's not quite keeping up.
that's good.
Tell me, Michael, what have you been up to lately, and what's been on your mind?
Well done. Lately, getting back, trying to complete my first book, Secrets and the Fountain of Youth, and it gets into everything, as well as the music angle. What you were mentioning is definitely a very interesting and important topic that a lot of people should become familiar with. And that, and just keeping up with the herbal product line and the formulas. There's a growing demand for those, and that's going really well. And I have to honestly say it's just being driven by the Lord, Don, because I'm not trying with that one. It's just that the formulas are very, very effective, and so they're getting popular just on their own. And so that's keeping me pretty busy, Don.
Well, course, I can vouch for their efficacy. I've been taking some of them, and throughout the course of this show or future shows, you know, we'll talk about those. But I have to tell you, you know, I've had just boundless energy, and you know me, I don't get very much sleep.
No, you don't.
I'm working on music. I'm preparing for my show. I'm doing research. You know, there's a lot involved in preparing for this. It's not as simple as just sitting behind the mic and pushing a few buttons.
No, of course, it's very time consuming.
And I know that you have been involved, you know, as a caller as well as a guest on some shows, and you just rub everybody the right way. You know, I constantly get feedback about your calls and the comments that you make, and that you're a very interesting individual. And when I had first heard you on a show, I had to have someone that had your email address put me in touch with you. That's how much I wanted to talk to you. And we have a lot of things in common. Music, that's one thing I didn't really go into a whole lot in my introduction, and that you're a very accomplished classical pianist and guitarist, and you're a recording artist in your own right.
Thank you, Don. In fact, I do have an album I'm in the middle of as well, and I'm looking forward to wrapping that up and having you check it out and having you master it for me. In fact, Don, I'm very excited about all that.
Well, that's good. We were we were setting up your Skype today, and we had some problems equipment-wise, but you could see that I knew what I was talking about.
Well, I'll say that, Don, I'll tell everybody right now that it's very clear that everything that you discuss, you show expertise on, and when I first started talking to you, when we first met over the phone and had a long conversation, and we were into the music part of the conversation, so people, I tested Don because we covered it all, and as a classical musician as well, I'm really a great fan of all the great classic pieces, and out of them all, there's Concierto de Aranjuez by Joaquin Rodrigo from the early 1900s, and it's a gorgeous piece. And so I ran that by Don. Don, you familiar with that? And he immediately started to play the Adagio on his piano. I could hear it clearly over the phone, and he was playing it perfectly. And he's playing the whole arrangement. It's guitar with orchestra. And so Don's an expert, people.
Now, you didn't notice that I was actually playing it in 528. I wasn't playing it in 440.
I didn't notice that. No.
but you know what's really interesting is there's a truth in that. You know, I had mentioned that, and I felt it was worth mentioning. You know, I was listening to Dr. Horowitz's show, and I tried to listen to him as much as possible. Little did I think I was going to be on the same network with him, and he. In fact, sent me an email yesterday, you know, congratulating me and honoring the fact that I was on after him, and so I thank him for that. And you know, I got nothing but encouragement. The man is just fantastic. He's encouraging the work that we're doing, even though we don't see the rewards or the gratitude often from people, it's nice to get it from someone like him, someone of his stature.
Absolutely. That's great to hear.
And there is the remark I was going to make is that when I do make comparisons, you know, to 440 recordings, they sound darker, and there is, it's almost like there's something missing, both in the fundamental pitches as well as in the harmonics. And really, the key, I my understanding, and this is really an intuitive understanding, is that you tap into these sacred numbers much easier when you're dealing with harmonics. And I love harmony. I mean, I love exotic harmonies, and I love what, you know, in music theory we call deceptive cadences, where the harmonic patterns move in directions other than what we're used to hearing. You know, we have these 1-4-5-4-1 progressions in rock and roll, mm-hmm. and blues is pretty much 1-4-5-1, maybe in a 2-5-1 turnaround at the end of the verse, you know. And mm-hmm. and these patterns, although they're pleasing, they're in a way they're limiting.
Sure.
And our pop music is really designed to control us. This is something, you know, that I've come to understand 30 or 35 years ago, that pretty much compared to the type of music that you study to really learn to be a virtuoso on an instrument, you're not going to get that from pop music. The elements are not there. The nuances and the subtleties of playing the instrument are not contained in that kind of music. The demands and the challenges are not there. And there's definitely not the foundational basis in terms of musical scales and arpeggios, and then learning phraseology and articulation and that dynamics and rhythm and rhythmic inflection and the various meters and then learning to play in all keys. You know, guitar players like to play in E because they can play that open E string, and there's really nothing wrong with that. But there's an effect on the human body when you hear these controlled systems. So there is a purpose for why they chose the what we call the concert pitches. And I tend to be suspicious of those, especially when we have these sacred writings that are now being discovered and brought out and argued very well, like Dr. Horowitz did, that there's the capacity to heal, or there's even beyond that, there's the capacity to love. Because if you're in a state of love, there's no need to heal from anything. You know, if you can exist in a state of love.
Sure. If that was the constant state or condition, then that's right. There would be nothing to heal because everything would be whole and fine. But you know, Don, everything you're saying, and some of it's new to me. I'm looking forward to comparing 440 to the higher pitches with the same tune and seeing the effects that it has on me. But ultimately, from my experience, that's why I gravitated to classical. Even though I'm writing modern pop and stuff, and it's really nice. It's fun, quality stuff. The ballads make you feel good. The upbeat stuff makes you feel good. Because ultimately, music, it stimulates our emotions. That's what it's playing on automatically, and it's either affecting us positively or negatively. So like a lot of the modern stuff currently out there today that you hear on pop radio, or better yet, just watch MTV Awards or something, and you'll see how boring and even irritating it is, because it's lacking all the quality and the essence of what music's all about, for being constructive and making you feel good and promoting harmony. And so the classical music, the real great numbers of the classical genre, including the Baroque and all those periods, the Romantic period, all that good quality stuff, the cream of the crop stuff, the Rodrigo stuff, the Granados or the Albanese, and the Mozart and Beethoven and Chopin and Debussy, and for example, and Saint Saint Seyan with his Samson and Delilah, and you have so many great numbers that are just gems. And when I listen to them, Don, I just get so stimulated. Even if they're in 440, I use them. I feed on that to stimulate me emotionally, then, of course, mentally and intellectually. And it just enables me to all of a sudden start to generate so much positive energy that then I channel it in the direction that I wanted to create it for. And so you can't, and even modern pop, you know, if it still makes you feel good and you're happy, and that's positive, and that's got the love essence in it then, and so it's good, and it can still stimulate positive creativity and energy. And so that's why pop is still, it's so important that we take that industry back over, in fact, so that we can get the kids back to listening to good quality stuff and broadening their senses of what music is instead of limiting it to just that primitive rhythm and simple arrangements with just simple looping of simple sounds. Nobody's really playing anything. Nobody's. And so that's how bad we are today with the music industry for the pop scene. There's a lot of talent out there and a lot of great music, and those people deserve their opportunities to let people hear them and let people enjoy them. And unfortunately, that's not happening today. But music, even as it is, all the cream of the crop stuff, it's still very creative and very good. And people just need to surround themselves with it, and only that, because that's all I listen to. I won't listen to anything that doesn't make me feel that way, because then it's having a different, an opposite effect, which I won't allow into my space, internally or externally. So I can be in control of exactly what I'm thinking and feeling and doing.
Yeah, that's, you know, what was going through my mind while you were describing all of that, and very accurately, you know, the, I, as a producer, as an engineer, as a studio musician, arranger, composer, what have you, and even as an artist myself, you talk to some of these people in the music business. In the old days, they had these great composers. And, you know, the George Gershwins and the Harold Arlens, and even though Harold Arlen wrote the music for The Wizard of Oz, and The Wizard of Oz was the Illuminati's subliminal programming for kids, you know, to get us into the New World Order system, you know, the man behind the curtain concept.
Yep, the Yellow Brick Road and everything.
Yeah, and, well,
without
dwelling on that too much, obviously, you know, that basically was to indoctrinate us, but the music itself was really well written. The message even had a purity to it, but it was really an abomination in the manner in which the story really was a farce on the plight of humanity, in that almost this, as if to say, look, we're going to show you what we plan to do to the world. And you are going to love it. You are going to fall in love with this movie. And it, so it became a classic for children, still is today.
Yes.
And if I were to watch it now, I'm just watching it to find Illuminati markers, you know.
I just downloaded Somewhere Over the Rainbow, the original from that score, because it's a great, great tune.
Yeah. Now, today, the point I was making is today you don't have those kind of people working intimately in the music business. They are revered by jazz musicians because they created such beautiful music that it lends itself to the advanced chord progressions that we use, and even the advanced rhythms, or rearranging and almost redesigning the song as if you're updating it into the styles that are understood today. But the pop music business in general has become so commercialized, And it's not just commercializing the music. It's they dumb down the music, really, is what they're doing. And then they sink millions of dollars into promotion, into the marketing aspect of it. And unfortunately, that's the reality we're in, because they make more money selling T-shirts and pins and stickers and posters and that kind of stuff than they actually do with the music. And they it's about money. It really doesn't have anything to do with the art form itself. And I'm sure the Mozarts and the Mendelssohns and the Chopins and Debussys are rolling over in their graves at what's happened to music. These men came and wrote beautiful, beautiful music that actually had the capacity and did change man's DNA.
Yes.
Much like what Jesus did when he came here. And it was a shame that that they had all these enemies, they had all these people that did not want them to succeed at what they were doing. They all had, with the exception of Debussy, they really had tragic lives. The jealousy amongst, particularly Mozart, the jealousy that he endured being amongst
so great.
The composers.
Phenomenon, you know.
Yeah. The composers in the king's court, you know.
Right,
and he was so prolific.
Yeah, he's a phenomenon.
When you think of in a span of just a few years, he wrote 40 symphonies, and he had all these operas. And the music is very sacred.
Yes.
You know, and so much of that wealth of information and that history has even been held back from the music education that's out there, too. That's been my experience. There, you know, when I was in music school in college, I would hear things come out of the mouths of the professors, and I would say, that's not true. You know, that's not what that music is about. Or,
right.
You know, I would disagree. But, you know, I had to follow, you know, the
protocol.
Yeah. I had to follow the syllabus that we had. And if I didn't follow it, you know, I was going to flunk the course.
Right.
But, you know, when somebody says, well, Gregorian chant was the most beautiful music that was ever written, and, you know, I'm supposed to buy into that. I'm sorry. in fact, I found a lot of it to be very depressing. Now, to me, you know, there was definitely some kind of a magic ritual being practiced in, you know, within it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was characteristic of all of it. You hear Gregorian chant, and you know what it is. But because Pope Gregory actually asked to have that music written down, that made it holy, because the Pope did.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how many of the songs he could sing himself. So we're all over the place here. But
Don, just to get off on a tangent from what you're saying there, because what's intriguing is right at the beginning of the Bible, where it states that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Now, word is the representation, the symbol for sound. And so we're learning right there that the Lord creates with light and sound. And we know today as scientists that the atomic structure is not material. At its essence, it is not material. So matter, what appears to be solid, is made of a substance which is not solid. So here we have an interesting paradox, but it's all understood now scientifically that the essence of the atom is just energy oscillating, okay? Now, when energy is oscillating, that means that you have space vibrating, and therefore there's a tone or a pitch generated. And so now we can realize that an atom is a pitch, a tone, and what separates really carbon from hydrogen, from nitrogen, and so on, is the rate of vibration from each atom. They're all vibrating slightly at different frequencies. And And so now, interestingly now, Don, when atoms merge and form a molecule, in chemistry we're taught that this is due to various physical attractions like ionic bonding, covalent bonding, but ultimately it's really out of attraction. The atoms that form molecules are attracted to each other, and if they're not attracted to each other, then atoms repel. And so if there's an attraction, there's harmony. And, of course, now that we know that an atom is a frequency or a pitch vibrating, generating a tone, and when they form a group of them, now you have a chord. Since they're in harmony, it's technically a chord. A molecule is really a chord. And I'll mention that a number of years back, the Lord actually, one beautiful summer day, right in my own house, I heard the music of the spheres, and I heard it from myself. The fact that all of creation is musical, that God himself is the grand musician, and it's a beautiful, stunning piece that I heard, and it literally does take you out of your body because it's a current, a sound current flowing in a direction, and it seems to have a destination, and once you're locked onto it, it actually takes you out of your body, separates you from your body, and carries you with the current. And but it was gorgeous, beautiful piece that I really ever heard out of everything we said, how great they all are. And, of course, this was like, wow. I mean, you could never want to stop listening to it. And so that's the beauty and the power of music, Don, that people really need to know. And that's why the industry today is dark, because, number one, at the physical level, you have, instead of in the old days when everything was really talented, like you were saying, the further back you go in the industry, the more talent it was, because now you're getting closer to real orchestras, real classical musicians, disciplined musicians with a lot of training, all becoming maestros. Now today, the industry's run by lawyers, basically, right? They want the money, the quick buck, where in the old days, the industry was really run by the artists themselves, who were after the quality, and if the money came from that afterwards, then all the better. And so that's the problem with the industry today. And they know, because at the pinnacle of power down here in this world, they know that they can manipulate the music in a negative way to stimulate us negatively, to impact our atomic structure negatively, and cause a breakdown, corruption at the physical level, the spiritual level, the mental level. That's how significant music is in our lives, and it's no coincidence that when you go out and you see the kids today and how they dress, how they behave, listen, just realize what they're listening to, what they're being forced to listen to and to accept as cool and being good. And there you have the evidence firsthand that music creates the culture. Culture doesn't really create the music. Once music starts creating the culture, then it's just a runaway downward spiral. If it's being used for negative purposes, that is. Donna, are you still there? Hello?
Hopefully we're back on the air here. I'm not hearing Michael now. I don't know if I lost Michael.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, Don.
Michael, we dropped off there.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, thanks.
You were in the middle of, I'm presuming we're back on the air now, so you were in the middle of this beautiful explanation, and I just lost you there.
Did you hear where I just finished it, Don, with that's the industry, that the music stimulates the culture, and if it's used to generate negative, irritating music, then the culture will be impacted negatively and vice versa?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was going to comment on where you were going with that, too. You know, you spoke about the atom and that when the atoms blend with each other, when they become attracted to each other.
Yep, they form molecules, right?
Yes, they form molecules, or, you know, in the etheric sense. Now, you know, that rang a chord with me also when you said that you heard the music of the spheres. In my during my first NDE, I heard that sound. And it came back with this overwhelming, burning desire to manifest that sound. And I began creating those sounds with the synthesizers. And I can hear them all the time now.
Oh,
sometimes
lucky you.
I have to shut it off.
know, that's a beautiful thing because it's gorgeous, gorgeous music going on behind the scenes here.
yes. Now, so what we have, too, when we have this Discord that you were talking about, although you didn't, at least while I was listening and I could hear you, you didn't use the word Discord, but when you have Discord, you did say, repelling atoms, moving away from each other.
Yes, when they're not, right, that's right.
Now, some types of Discord, because of their harmonic production, in other words, the harmonics that are created, sometimes can be pleasing in a certain way because they begin to expand the frequencies that we would normally hear in these more basic forms of music. But when you get and we could have dissonance hearing two notes and I could use the example of Chopin's music, where he was playing major sevenths, and he was using inversions of major sevenths. And when you start inverting chords, you change the order of the notes in the chord, and then you get two notes that are right next to each other, like a semitone apart. Mm-hmm. And we are in tertian harmony and using a diatonic melodic system. So, moving from one note to the next note, when you're playing these two notes that are just a semitone apart from each other, you get this dissonance. But it can be pleasing if you have the right harmony notes in there.
I use it often.
Yeah. Now, the more discordant the music becomes, obviously, the more destructive it becomes.
Right.
And let me tell you, nothing puts a hurt on my eardrums more than an out-of-tune instrument. That drives me up a wall.
Or an out-of-tune voice, huh?
Oh, yes. Well, any music that's really not in tune, with...
Yes.
Whatever the tuning modality is,
mm-hmm.
Whatever the concert pitch you're using.
That's right.
It is just so dissonant and discordant that it's worse than the person that scratches the chalkboard with their fingernails,
Yes, it is very annoying and irritating. Hey, Don,
yes.
if I may inject real quick, hold your thought, that also correlates to us with our bodies, as our bodies are really instruments. And when we're healthy, it's because everything's in tune. And therefore, we feel great, we're singing. We want to sing, right, actually. But when we're sick, when the body's ill, it's actually out of tune. And it doesn't have the harmony. And so, that concept with the music affects our lives in every aspect, but generally we're unaware until we start to notice this.
Yes. Now, I would like to draw an analogy, and I'm going to bring us into another aspect of what you do, and you just see if this makes sense. In that respect, what you just said, when I came out of this experience and started creating this music and started really... I don't want to say experimenting so much because it was more like tuning into what I heard. If you have perfect pitch here, you're going to have it even better there. So when I came back, I just translated it into, thought and physical action. But emotion, that's the word you used. I emoted from within, from the heart center, I emoted my experience and recreating similar, not copying what I heard so much as just intuitively understanding the principles that were at work. And it led me to understand that sound and light were directly associated, that they were just different frequencies of the same thing. And now if we look at what we get out of light, don't we get plants out of light? Don't plants synthesize or photosynthesize the same energy that they are interpreting or they are sensing, within their structure?
Sure.
Where they may be hearing the music, and maybe they don't need the ears.
Well, you know, Don, I'm glad you said that, because everything in nature is hearing the music, and that's what the birds are singing to through the daytime and when they're happy. And that's what the crickets and the insects at nighttime, which sound like a little orchestra when you really, you know, listen to them. It's a little orchestra going on. And it's pretty impressive because it's so seemingly organized and conducted. And so, yes, nature itself is in tune. They haven't really broken their connection with their creator, and they hear a lot. Most of the creatures and the plants do respond accordingly to the music of the spheres.
So that takes us then to the fact that there are probably plants growing. Well, I'm saying probably. You know, I'll let you clarify that with specificity. There are plants that we can ingest then that cause us to take in that balanced energy. Because
that's,
we're not talking.
That's right.
Right? We're not talking about discord here. We're talking about life-sustaining
yes, sir, Don,
plants.
Absolutely, Don. That's the ultimate essence of what these plants, these special plants called herbs, really are all about. Why they're so beneficial to man is because they possess these unique properties that just seem to be very healthy to man and animals, and that is due solely because they are possessing unique energies and frequencies at the ethereal levels, but at the physical levels, it's a combination of various compounds and minerals and, you know, just unique compounds. That's exactly that's exactly what it all comes down to, light energies and sound currents being physically manifested from nature.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, Michael, I want to give out our call. Would you like to take some calls if we get some calls here?
Hey, that'd be great, Don.
Okay, I'm going to give out the call numbers here. If you got a pen and paper or you know them, you're in the USA, you're free to call us at 877-876-5227, and of course, with the one in front. Again, in the U.S., that's 877-876-5227. That's a toll-free line. Also, in the USA and Canada, 888-815-9756. And our direct line is area code 530-876-3222. We'd be happy to take a comment or a call from anyone out there in the listening audience if you have a comment for Michael Anthony or a question. Now, Michael, your products come under the line of Michael Anthony's private stock.
Yes, Don, that's right.
Very interesting name, because most people I know that have a private stock are they have bottles and bottles of some kind of inebriant, you know.
Well, you know, that's the little kid nature that I still possess and the humor to it. But as it all came about, because I never intended on developing that as a business, it was a natural development as I developed these formulas, which were all very, very powerful and effective. And so over time, I would tell people that you're lucky you're getting this because this is from my private stock. And so over time, that's how it came about.
Now, are you free to name any of the herbs that you use? I know that you have certain proprietary considerations, but
sure.
You know,
sure. I use an abundance of them, Don, and they're so powerful and so unique that everybody calls me, you know, when they use them and say, Michael, they're great. They really work, just like you said, quickly and effectively. And so because of that, I can't disclose the formulas because they're just, there's nothing like them. And it's intellectual property that I'm going to keep under the wraps. But, I have various all kinds of formulas for everything, infection killer for any form of infection for people and animals, and viral, bacterial, fungal, parasite, it's all history. Had a case with Morgellons out in Michigan earlier in the summer, and very advanced case first bottle, she was 75% by the end, by the time the second bottle was used, she was pretty much 100%.
And, now, you're talking about a disease that has killed many people.
People are, it's the latest crazy, weird disease, Morgellons. I did pursue that one with a lady in Michigan back in the summer just to test out the infection killer on this new, you know, unknown infection, because MS, parvo on animals, Lyme disease, any kind of influenza, that's a piece of cake. Everything's a piece of cake. Heartworm on dogs, all that eradicated, no problem with the infection killer. So when I heard about the Morgellons, I pursued it so that I could test it out. And sure enough, as I promised the lady, I said, "Don't, you know, I'm confident, Miss, that my infection killer is going to restore you," and it did. And then, like, for any kind of injury, it's my rapid heal, broken bones, doesn't matter, you'll heal so fast, it's like a miracle. And then I have cancer blaster for any kind of cancer, and assist my all-purpose general formula, Don, for general maintenance, as well as restoring any kind of glandular organ problem like pancreas, diabetic, or thyroid, anything organ with heart or liver or bladders, kidneys, doesn't matter, digestive system. The system toner is the formula for that purpose. It's the utility formula, the all-purpose formula that I designed so that it's the ultimate preventative and restore for glands and organs. Then I have the herbal teas and my dragon juice, which is the powerhouse for instant energy. You don't want to drink it if you're trying to sleep. And tastes like candy. And so they're all very unique blends. And I do use herbs that are not commonly used because people just didn't discover how beautiful they are and their beautiful properties they possess. But a lot of stuff like the clovers and the burdocks and your sage and your common herbs like that. You know, I do employ them, of course, alfalfa. I do employ all that stuff. But it's how you combine them with other things to get the synergistic effect. That's the real artwork to it all. And I was very lucky that I discovered this stuff a long time ago, what I call the secrets to health and the secrets to nature. And that's how I was able to put these formulas together. And I'd love to share exactly what's in them all, but when you see what they do, as everybody when they call me and when they're happy, and I say, "You see what they do, and you see why I can't tell you what's in it."
Well, you know, you're going to have the athletes that say, "You know, boy, I would love to have something like that, but how do I know I'm not going to flunk some kind of a test before an important race or some event?"
Yes,
it's
impossible.
Yeah.
You know, it's impossible for any kind of negative effect to ever occur from these formulas because technically they are foods for the body that the body really truly loves because they're really light energies stored in a biomass and the body is craving this stuff. Just a matter of having a good digestive system, a healthy system, so it can be digested and assimilated and circulated so the full effects can take place. Never, ever a side effect. Like I was helping a guy locally since last October, over time, as he was seeing improvement, but the doubts, he's a senior citizen, and of course his family would say, "You don't even know what's in it, what are you crazy?" Because I get that over the years, you know, occasionally. "You know, Mike, I'm getting kind of nervous because I don't know what's in it, and people are getting me nervous." I said, "How do you feel?" "I feel good." "How long have you been using it now for?" "Oh, 6 months." So I said, "Well, don't you think now this guy in the area, he just called me again the other day, so excited. He's been using the system toner steady, and he just had another checkup, which is about 3 months later since the last one I heard his report on, and he was so happy because he said, "Here's my numbers, Mike. They're lower than the last time. You know, the doctor can't figure it out." You know, and he's so happy, and because he knows that these numbers are telling him he's doing good. So I said, I said, at that point in time, I'm sure you're confident now that my formulas are healthy and there's no harm being done in any way.
One thing I want to remark, and you and I have talked about these things from time to time, but for the sake of the listening audience, the system toner I would attribute to a different consciousness after, before, during, and after eating a meal. And in that, I'm primarily vegetarian. I eat lots of fruit and vegetables and nuts and stuff like that. And
that's the Lord's diet.
Yes. What's interesting, and I eat, holistic foods. I'm eating organic, and I'm researching the foods that I buy to guarantee that it's not just organic on the packaging,
Yeah, well, Don, let me interject on that real quick so everybody knows and benefits from this, because I'm glad you mentioned that. It's very important. If it's organic and it's not right, it's not worth a penny. And if right next to it, it's not organic and it is ripe, you're better off with it, believe it or not. But you need something like the system toner to neutralize any potential, toxins from the sprays or whatever, from the handling, the shipping. You don't even know with the organic, with the shipping, the fumes from the trucks could be getting in. You don't know. And so the system toner protects you from those kinds of things. And then when it's nice and ripe, now you're able to get, the body's able to capture the light energies that manifested in the plant because the fruit is perfectly ripened. If it's not perfectly ripened, it doesn't have those light energies, which at the physical level will manifest as nutrients, minerals and vitamins and the enzymes and the aminos and the whole sugars. They won't be there, and that's why it won't be good. And they won't be alkaline on the blood. They'll be acidic, which will be the beginning of a breakdown of the blood, which will promote a disease. Because anytime one is sick, if you did a pH on the blood, you'll find that it's always acidic. And when you're healthy, the blood will always be alkaline.
Yeah.
So that's a very important thing for everybody to always remember. It's got to be right. That's the most important thing.
And infection is usually, right around the corner, too, in that state that you're describing.
Exactly.
Well, I notice that after, I take the system toner and I eat a meal, I take it on an empty stomach. So that it assimilates into my system easier. It doesn't have to fight, the food.
That's right.
Then I notice that I don't feel any discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I regularly feel discomfort, but it's just the whole process of digesting the food it seems to be like there's some kind of magic going on there,
Yes, sir, Don. I agree 100%. There is, and that's the Lord's magic. And I hear that often from everybody when they talk to me afterwards, and they say, Mike, normally I can't take anything on an empty stomach, but, when I take yours, everything's fine. And then the full effects will kick in from the digestion and assimilation, and then everybody starts to see improvement with it, with whatever in particular was becoming a problem for them.
Yeah. Well, we'll be posting some information on the site. Also, I want to give out my website address, if I can do that, for my audience, because we'll be posting some information about Michael's herbal products up there. My web address for my personal site is Direct Light Productions, with an S on the end, directlightproductions.com. Or we will have something soon as we're putting our webpage together here on BBS Radio, and that will be under Evident Footprints. Wherever you click on Evident Footprints on this website will take you to my personal webpage, and I will have a whole site there pretty soon. BBS has been gracious enough to host the site for me, so you will see Michael's stuff there. But you can send me an email, anyone out there that wants to find out more, and I can put you in touch with Michael Anthony, and you can discuss your personal issues with him. Doesn't look like anybody's called. Maybe they're really digging the show here. Well, we're about out of time here, Michael. The hour always flies very rapidly. And I want to thank you for coming on, and I know you'll be on again, right?
Well, Don, thank you, sir. First, congratulations on your new show. Hope it's a great success for you, and it's been an honor to be a guest on your show. And I'll
definitely look forward to another
time with you.
You're the first one, so, you know.
It's a real honor. Thank you, Don.
You got it off to a great start. And
Thank you, sir.
I want to thank Seth for some wonderful sound tonight, and it's just going to get better as we go along, folks. We're going to really be doing a lot of interesting things. Again, tomorrow night, I will have Todd Metallo from Lametco International as my special guest, and you don't want to miss that show. Canadacci on Thursday and Jim Murray on Friday. So I look forward to having everyone back again tomorrow night. And good night, Michael, and good night, Seth, and
good
everybody
night,
out there in Radio Land.